Now, I've mentioned the age thing as well. I just want to say for myself that I really believe that anyone can be baptized at any age, just like they can be saved. If a young person comes and says, I want to accept Jesus, will you pray with me? Can I accept Jesus into my heart? I'm not going to say, well, you've got to take this class first, or you're not ready, or come back when you're older, or come back when you've experienced more of life. No, we're going to pray with them, right? Which brings me to point number two, which is water baptism is declared, is a declaration of our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. It's a declaration. It's a joyous declaration saying, hey, I'm declaring that I am committing my life to Jesus, and I want to tell people about it. And it's boldly proclaiming that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. My old life is behind me. And we demonstrate to the world our identification with being Jesus being crucified, if you will, declaring that I believe he came, he died, he rose, he lives, and he is Lord. It's a wonderful declaration. Next, I want to read Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And you can turn in your Bibles if you have them. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And I'll be reading this in the NIV, but it says this. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So again, it's as simple as saying, my name is JP. I want to declare that that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life and that I have chosen to follow him. Amen? That's simple. I also want to say this. I don't believe that baptism, if you will, is a one and done thing, okay? In the sense of, I have known people that have maybe gotten baptized at one point in their life and then maybe fallen away from the Lord or even went through something traumatic. And I believe that if you come back to, or you know, just come to a point where you say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Maybe I wasn't following you like I should have before, but I want to follow you. I want to make a declaration again. I believe that there's something that the Lord does in being baptized again. Okay? How many people do you know who have accepted Jesus? And yes, they accepted Christ, came to their heart, but even through down the road, maybe they needed confirmation so they accepted Jesus again down the road or recommitted their life, right? And I've known people to get baptized a second time. And I believe it's a physical act that creates a spiritual change in their life. Why? It takes us to my point number three. Water baptism is, if you will, it's a funeral. It's a point of separation from the old and the new. It's about dying to the old sinful nature that maybe we dealt with before. It's an act of faith which we testify both to God and to the world that, hey, I was dead. The person was dead and buried and raised to life with new creation. That's what going under is like. It's a representation of Christ. Christ died for our sins, right? So we're taking on his life. We're being made new. And it's amazing. Again, Jesus died for our sins, and we're taking that on. It's awesome. Romans 6:6 says, "What shall then we say? Shall we go on sinning?" This is the verse I read before. "So that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might not be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." So it's basically, water baptism is a public burial of your old life, if you will. Saying, "I have died to sin, to selfishness, and to the world's ways, and I've chosen to follow Christ." Now, I do want to say also, I'm talking about immersion. If there's some reason someone can't be immersed or dunked under, that's fine too. We can pour water over you. We can sprinkle. And it doesn't necessarily need to be here in a church. I've known many missionaries that, again, a lake, a pool, a swimming pool. My boys were baptized last spring in a swimming pool. A hot tub, you know, maybe that would entice you to, you know, yeah, I want to be, yeah, okay, I'll be baptized in a hot tub. Maybe twice as many people would get baptized then, I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I wanted to read it in the Amplified version because I love the how it describes it. "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." That's awesome. Our spirits are made new, right? And the next one, point number four, water baptism is a resurrection. Colossians 2:12 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." So water baptism, again, is saying, I'm dead in the old ways, maybe the habits or routines, but from this day forward, I'm choosing, by the grace of God, to follow Christ. It doesn't mean we're perfect. The grace of God covers all that. But it means we're taking on God's righteousness. He died his righteousness. He was sinless. And he's giving it as a free gift, so that we can become righteous, even though we deserve death because of our sin. I'm always amazed at how some of my non-Christian friends, if they go through something traumatic, they're burdened by it. It's something they can't shake. Maybe something that they walk with for 5, 10, 15 years, maybe their whole lives. Why? Because we're made to be spiritual beings. It's not just a mental thing. God recreates us. It's a powerful thing. Romans 6:8 says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now, verse 12 says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself as an instrument of righteousness." It says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. We're under grace. It's a free gift. Salvation and baptism, it's the best, the number one decision anyone can ever make in their lives, both for this life and for eternity. More than any decision you could ever make in this life. So I do want to say, if you haven't been baptized, I dare you to take the plunge. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Baptism, it's if you will, a simple act of obedience that will carry us through our whole life. You will always remember the time when you were baptized, right? Something to be celebrated. Something that can't be taken away. Anytime the enemy or we go through struggles or whatever, we can always remember the time when we are baptized and know that God is with us, that he walks with us. That we have been forgiven. All of our sins are underneath the water and we come up brand new, just like Christ was. Amen? So again, if you haven't been baptized, you need to. But I also want to say, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day for salvation, the most important decision you could ever make. It's not about being perfect before you come to him. We all have flaws. Everyone had flaws. I don't want to open up the mic, but we all had flaws, maybe worse than we want to tell, before we got saved. Amen? But they're all covered by the grace of God. And that is to be celebrated today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, that we can come here together as the body of Christ and be able to celebrate all that you have done. Through these four people, Lord, I pray just for covering, that they might leave here and just be excited about the decision that they have made. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you have done, especially as we're going into Easter, Lord, we remember all that you took on for us, Lord. And we say thank you for coming to the cross, for dying on the cross for our sins. But Lord, we're so thankful that you didn't stay there, but that you rose on the third day, that you still have the power and hold the power for salvation, Lord, for forgiveness of sins, for us to be made perfect and clean in you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone who has not accepted you or been baptized, Lord, that you would speak to them in their heart, that you would draw them into you by your grace, by your freedom, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's freedom in you. We say that we love you today. And we worship you, Lord. Thank you that we get to spend eternity in heaven worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to stand, we are going to close with one more song. Let's sing together now.
saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to be.